Library of Adventure, featuring the great adventures of yesterday, dramatized for the boys and girls of today. Michael Strogoff, Courier of the Tsar. Chapter 24 of the story adapted from the novel by Jules Verne. As Ivan Ogareff planned with his spy Zangari to put Irkutsk to fire and the sword, Michael Strogoff and Nadia Fedor were still attempting the difficult and dangerous passage of the Angara. Inside the city, with calm indifference to the perils lying beyond the walls, the Grand Duke laid his plans for defense with General Vorontsov. Much had been done, but much remained to be done to give the city a chance of survival against the overwhelming odds against it.
Enter. Ah, General. You had my message then. I thought you were out on a tour of inspection.
Yes, Highness. I have just returned.
You visited the northern limits?
Yes. Our defenses there are poor. The earthworks and the temporary moat will hold any initial attack, but a sustained attempt.
The artillery?
I've ordered every piece but those guarding each gate to be aligned across the earthworks there.
Good. It is necessary to be conservative when estimating the chances of war. But with all available artillery in position, the northern wall should be safe.
I trust that such will prove the case, Highness. We can do no more.
No, we must wait. Oh, I have a dispatch here which will interest you, General. It reached me half an hour ago. Read it.
General Kiselev. 50,000... Forced marches, Lena, Kerensk, 6 days.
Excellent news, is it not?
Highness, 50,000 Russians under Kiselev will be here in 6 days. Then, where to be relieved?
I thought I would keep the best news until the last. A brave and clever messenger broke through the Tatar lines and swam the river. If we can hold out for 6 days...
We can. I know we can.
One doubt has been exercising my mind tonight. Is it possible that the river might freeze over?
It is unlikely, Highness. I've seen the temperature fall 30 and 40 degrees below zero, and the Angara still carried down drifting ice. If the Tatars have no other means of crossing the river opposite the town, they won't enter the city that way. The bridge they built up river could never be duplicated under the fire of our guns.
Your assurance puts my mind at rest.
You will try and gain some rest tonight, Highness.
What is the time?
2 o'clock in the morning.
2 o'clock. You may go, General. I wish to confer with our town council at 9 in the morning. There are problems of supply, hospitals, civil order. You will be there.
Punctually, Highness. Highness, if I might make a suggestion.
Speak.
You're tired. All but spent. Will you rest tonight, for all our sakes?
I thank you for your solicitude, General Vorontsov. I shall try and rest. Good night.
Good night, Highness.
Halt! Who goes there?
Irkutsk.
Pass, friend.
I do not wish to pass. Have you permission to talk?
Yes. This is a fixed post. It's cold. Haven't you a bed to go to?
Yes, I have a bed.
I'll be glad when old Peter comes to relieve me. Must be 20 degrees of frost tonight. Or this morning. It's almost dawn.
Do you think the Tatars will attack soon?
How should I know? But we'll be ready for them. They brought up some artillery last night. The Tatars will get a surprise if they try to come across the earthworks there.
What do your comrades think of our chances?
Eh? They don't care. They don't think about it most times. A soldier doesn't. You're a civilian, aren't you?
Yes. Yes, I'm a civilian.
I thought so. It's a funny thing, you know, civilians like yourself. They seem to think that a soldier likes war, that he's never happier than when there's a bit of fighting. Trumpets giving the charge, swordplay, guns booming, all that sort of thing. But it's all nonsense. A soldier likes his good time like anyone else. A snug barracks, a bit of music, a girl, decent food.
You get all that in Irkutsk, don't you?
Yes, we do. And that might be one of the reasons why the Tatars won't get in here. We want to keep it that way. There are other reasons, too. Take me, for instance. I'm married. I've got a wife and two kids. What would these Tatars do if they got in here?
It chills my heart to think of it.
Well, maybe I wouldn't have put it like that. But that's about it. Don't you worry. They won't get in.
What is your name, soldier?
Nikolai. Nikolai Chernov.
Nikolai Chernov. I shall remember the name.
Welcome. But why should you remember my name in particular?
Because you have given me new heart, Nikolai Chernov. I believe with you that Irkutsk shall not fall.
Who are you? I see...
An attack! Yes, the Tatars. See, messing on the far side of the earthworks. Now, Nikolai Chernov, do your work.
To arms! To arms!
Well?
Colonel, the attack. It failed.
Well?
We were in position at dawn. Signal was given. We advanced. But there was artillery. Mass beyond the earthworks. We were slaughtered in tens, in hundreds. With my own eyes, I saw...
Well?
Some of us. We reached the earthworks. But the Russians fought us hand to hand, with knives, with clubs of wood. One man in my company said he saw the Grand Duke himself fighting in the thick of the press.
And then?
It was finished, Colonel. Of our 2,000, only 300 remain alive and unwounded.
Who led the attack?
Captain Buskov.
I seem to remember him. Tell me, at what stage did the good captain blow out his brains?
Colonel, I do not understand... Captain Buskov. It was very strange. When the fighting was finished, and our poor handful was gathered out of range of the Russian guns, Captain Buskov called for all there to follow him.
Well?
Colonel, none followed. Captain Buskov drew his saber, ran towards the earthworks. The Russians let him come. He ran to the foot of their defenses and struggled up through the wounded and the dying and the dead. Until he reached the top.
Galloped, I'm sure. And then?
A Russian officer stepped forward and they fought. Up and down the frozen earth. As the sun rose across the Altai. Captain Buskov fought like a bear. And twice he forced the Russian to his knees. But he was exhausted with all the fighting he'd done. And soon the Russian beat him down. And his body fell back from the height. And down... Down to the very foot of the earthworks.
Oh, a worthy officer, I'm sure. Is that all?
Colonel, that is all. Except for one small thing.
Yes?
As he fell backwards, the captain cried out. It was very still in the early morning, you understand. And we all of us heard what he said.
And what did he say?
Colonel, he said but one word. As he fell, he cried out, "Betrayed."
Sire, you're wounded. Let me help you.
No, General. Let me stand. And close the door.
Highness.
It is a mere scratch, General. There are 100 far worse than I. See that they are well taken care of. They fought like heroes.
All is in hand, Highness.
Disperse the artillery from the northern approaches.
But
have it done immediately, General. The Tatars won't attack our northern defenses again. They've had enough. Place the artillery in the original emplacements. They may follow up with another attack, but I doubt it.
It shall be done. I cannot understand it. 2,000 men made that attempt, and yet there was not one single shot fired at any other point.
Ill-advised, to say the least. However, that is our good fortune. Let us thank Providence, General, and be steeled in resolution to resist to the end. Send Captain Fedor to me, also the police chief and the chief of the merchants.
Yes, Highness.
Enter.
Your Highness, a courier has arrived from Uzar.
A courier? Bring him to me at once.
Highness, he is in the anteroom. I will fetch him immediately.
A courier? Highness, the news he carries may affect our whole plan for Irkutsk.
It may.
Enter.
Highness.
You are a courier of the Tsar?
Yes, Highness.
From Moscow?
Yes, Highness.
When did you leave Moscow?
On the 15th of July.
And your name, courier?
Strogoff. Michael Strogoff.
Ogareff the traitor has made good his boast that he would enter Irkutsk, and now stands before the Grand Duke in the guise of the man whose name he has taken. If Ogareff can convince the Grand Duke that he is indeed the real courier, and if he's given the freedom of the city, then will Irkutsk be most surely and most bitterly betrayed. Where is Michael Strogoff, the genuine courier, and how soon can he reach the side of the Duke and his advisers? Listen again when next we present Michael Strogoff, courier of the Tsar.